We're talking today with Dr. Kelly Harding, and her book is The Rabbit Effect, Live Longer, Happier, and Healthier with the Groundbreaking Science of Kindness. That's a mouthful, but the rabbit effect is what we need to remember, right?
Absolutely.
And this is based really on groundbreaking research done in 1978 with rabbits. Tell me that story.
The story that the book is named after is this incredible study that was done with rabbits. It was really a study looking at heart health. And so trying to figure out the link between a high-fat diet and heart health. And what happened is these researchers, led by Dr. Robert Neerham, were looking at these groups of rabbits. They were all virtually genetically identical, getting the same high-fat diet. And when they went to look at the results, they noticed that one of the groups of rabbits had far better health outcomes, like a 60% better health outcome than the other group of rabbits. And so they thought maybe there was something wrong with the protocol. They looked again, and then they noticed that one of the researchers wasn't just, you know, giving the rabbits their kibble. She was actually talking to them. She was petting them. She was picking them up. She was giving them love and kindness.
That is incredible.
It really was incredible on many levels. And so they replicated it, got the exact same finding and published it in Science, which is a really prestigious medical journal. And the thing that's really incredible to me is because this was a landmark study showing that the social environment impacts our physiology. It's like our social environment gets under our skin. And the fact that they paid attention to that, because they're basic scientists. And when you talk to Dr. Neerham, he's a lovely guy. He said, but this finding was so robust, we couldn't ignore it.
But you're a scientist. I mean, you've gone through medical school, and you also had an example from medical school. One of the doctors in charge had the same kind of thinking about health.
Oh, absolutely. So it's really fun to be able to think about medical mysteries. And so that's what got me down this rabbit hole, I guess, if you will. But it was, I couldn't help it. But it was really sort of starting out in medicine. You know, I was so focused on learning the details of medicine and different diseases. And then once you're on the wards, as many people who may be listening who work in healthcare know, you start to see a real divergence between sort of what's expected and then outcomes. So it's one of those things that you are, you know, you start to ask yourself, what are we missing here? Because, you know, people with really serious diseases, serious accidents, serious illnesses that actually end up going and doing quite well. And then the flip side of that is people who maybe, you know, everything medically checks out on paper, but then they're not functioning well, they're not doing well. So it was this sort of medical mystery that led me in conversations with a lovely mentor of mine named Dr. Arthur Barsky at Harvard to start thinking about what else could be going on. And that's when I led me to the rabbit studies.
The essentials of health are found, you've written, not in medical textbooks, but in our everyday connections with each other. Who we have around us can make such a big difference in what our health is like.
Oh, Pat, this is it. And this is exactly why I wrote the book. There are decades of data, of public health data, that show that when it comes to our health, the most critical factor are our relationships. And so, you know, as a physician, this is really surprising because it turns out, you know, there's data that shows that medical care probably only accounts for about 10 to 20% of our overall health. Now, that while that's a critical piece of it, and it's actually absolutely critical that every person has access to medical care, it still leaves all this wiggle room. And so what does that involve? And when you look at the data, it really comes down to our relationships. And it's our relationships in our homes, you know, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, our neighborhoods, the people you pass on the street, and our broader society, too. So, you know, that's when, and it really comes down to kindness.
That's so amazing, hearing that from a scientist.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I think I went to medical school to help people. And what was so exciting about all of this, and, you know, the rabbit study led me across the street at Columbia to the School of Public Health, where I learned about the, you know, science of the social determinants of health. And this is something that's been studied for years. But it really felt it wasn't, you know, it's something we talk about in medicine. It's something we definitely talk about in public health. But it felt like the kind of thing that, you know, most people, when they think about health, they think about, you know, diet, sleep, exercise, the occasional trip to the doctor. But they're not really thinking about their social world and their relationships as such a critical factor.
One thing you said also is while it matters certainly what you're eating, that doesn't matter as much as whom you are eating with. I think that's probably not constructed correctly as it came out of my mouth.
No,
but who you're eating with is more important than what you're eating, almost.
Yeah, no, I think it's really exciting. It's this sort of idea of looking up from the plate and thinking about what's going on, or sort of, you know, because I think we all get excited about the next like hot diet, you know, whether it's like the keto diet or the, you know, the Mediterranean diet. Mm. But then when you sort of look at some of these blue zones, it's the culture that's also important. You know, oftentimes, and I talk about that in The Rabbit Effect, that, you know, oftentimes in the cultures that are the most long lived, you know, people have each other's backs. They're supporting one another. They're navigating tough times together. And they've got these resilient stress buffers that, you know, I think we need to pay attention to.
That could really make such a difference. If you have a bad day at work or somebody's bullying you or a million other things that can happen to you, knowing you have that social support system at home, or that person who really is watching out for you, who gets you, that's so important.
It's so critical. And this gets at also loneliness. You know, it's something we have to start paying attention to in society. And, you know, it turns out, again, that loneliness, the risk factor of loneliness to health is as significant as other known risk factors. You know, whether it's heavy alcohol use, whether it's smoking 15 cigarettes a day, whether it's high blood pressure, you know, we talk about those things with our doctors oftentimes, but we don't always talk about, you know, how if we have a close friend to call when we have a bad day. It's amazing how you can really brush off a lot of the stresses of life when you've got someone who has your back.
You mentioned loneliness, and in your book, you say that obesity increases the risk of an early death by 30%. And you say that loneliness increases the risk of an early death by 50%, or it can.
Yes. I mean, this is striking. This is what's so incredible. And this is part of, again, why I wrote The Rabbit Effect, because I really felt this is something we all need to understand, that when we think about risk factors to health, we have to be thinking about, you know, our relationships. That's really the critical piece of this. And spending the time investing in our relationships in a really meaningful way. It's not, and what's so wonderful about this is that we can have so much of it in our control. So, you know, it turns out when you look at loneliness, it's both the number of people you know, but it's also how connected you feel to people. Yeah. So, and you can do this, you know, with the person who's sitting next to you, you can, the person at work, you know, trying to build positive relationships is just so critical. And also every bit counts. So even, you know, if you're listening to this in your car, you know, doing a little act of kindness, letting someone go in front of you, you know, when, if you stop, just little niceties along the way actually make a really big difference. And they put other people in a better mood, and they're more likely to be kinder to other people. It's this lovely ripple effect.
I'm going to let you know what happens on the subway when I smile at somebody.
Well, you know, in New York, I didn't grow up here in New York City, but I always get a kick out of people who are actually quite friendly. But it's funny because we get so in our zones. And right now, I think the bigger issue is we're all looking at our phones, too, and not at each other.
Yeah, so true. Hugging doesn't necessarily keep you from getting a cold, but it's been found that if you do get a cold, you seem to not get as sick.
Yeah. So this is
a bunch of hugs in your life.
This is the rabbit effect at play. It's that sort of missing difference. Like, why is it, even if everyone's exposed to the same cold virus, some people, you know, aren't sick as long, they do better. And so so there are these really fun studies that show essentially that people are less likely to get the cold virus, and when they hug, they are less likely to get as sick. So, and I think it was even like just one hug a day made a difference. So, and the other thing that I found striking is the hug should be a little bit longer than you're probably comfortable with. So now, like with my kids in the morning, I give them like a slightly longer squeeze. So we're practicing our hugging.
My husband's going to be surprised because you said, 6 to 20 seconds for a hug. And that's pretty long when you count to 20, but we're going to try that.
So human touch, it's absolutely critical. The other thing that, because we are coming into flu season, I just want to mention, there's also these really interesting studies that hugs actually also help the flu vaccine take hold better. So, you know, because it's not just getting the vaccine, but you also want it to be effective. So, which I thought, I mean, as a physician, that just, I thought was so cool and such a low cost intervention. So someone you love, you know, an extra hug is nice.
I love that. Along with the flu shot, right, doctor?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Which is important.
Yes. Also, another thing that you talk about, if your workplace isn't the best, if it's a little toxic. Treat your job like a bad boyfriend because jobs come and go. So you shouldn't be afraid to walk away from a bad situation. A lot of people feel trapped, like they can't do anything about their environment.
I think, you know, so again, the data is that our workplaces are a huge contributor to our health. And I think it's sort of the kind of thing that we all know from common sense that, you know, if we have a lousy day at work, it affects our life in many ways. But we really want to be paying attention to that because there are these large population studies showing that our work is really impacting our health. So this has several implications. One, it's that probably having a good manager is as important as having a good doctor. Or if you are a manager, treating your employees with respect and dignity is also critical for their health. And actually, there are these really neat studies showing that for workplaces that do these types of practices, they have, it's like 50% less health costs and people take far less sick days. So because I think that's the thing, people feel supported, and when you don't feel supported, it's actually in your body in a way that's unanticipated.
How do we get there? How do we infuse our lives with more kindness and happiness and joy and get healthier as a result?
Kindness is a practice. And also, I think it's not a dichotomy, like you're a kind person or unkind person. Yeah. We're all practicing this every single day. And some of us are better than others.
And we have better days than others.
And we have
others,
better days
right?
than others. And to also, you know, recognize we're human with that. But again, it is a practice. And what's really cool is every person who's out there has had kindness extended to them. So it's important to think about who's been kind to you and then pass it on. And what's really wonderful about that is whoever's listening now, you can actually start right this second. You know, think about what can you do to infuse the situation in front of you with a little kindness.
Well, you've been a delight. Once again, tell us the name of your book.
Sure. So it's The Rabbit Effect, and it's Dr. Kelly Harding. And again, I'm so delighted to be here, Pat. It's really my pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.